Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
His ankles is something where we're still working through and talking about. We'll see how this week goes in terms of whether we'll have him available for Saturday night or not. But it's more of a day-by-day type deal with him.
That was Ben Johnson earlier in the week, I believe Monday, talking about Luther Burden and his ankle. And unfortunately, it is something that has come up on the injury report yet again. The latest Bears injury report did have Luther Burden on it. That is a concern as we continue to go into Packers week on Saturday night. Burden did not practice on Wednesday. He did not practice on Tuesday. Roma Dunze also out of practice both days with that foot injury. Amin Ogbonmiga also out, did not practice on Wednesday. Tremaine Edmonds, thankfully, limited. Cole Kmet, limited. DeAndre Swift, limited. And that's really the what you need to know about the Bears injury report from yesterday. This is Raheemy Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. And, Marshall, I think you have every right to be concerned about WR1 and WR Emerging. That'd be Roman Luther.
Is that what we're calling WR Emerging?
I mean, how do you explain ascending? I feel like what he's doing is stunting. I mean, what complimentary word descriptor do we want to give Luther Burden for his season so far?
There's an argument to be made that Luther Burden III is their best receiver. There's an argument to be made if you look at the development of him as a rookie, along with other rookies, because honestly, in Ben Johnson's offense, all the rookies are doing a phenomenal job of showing their value no matter what round they were picked in. What's up, Kyle Manungai? I think if you look at what was happening weeks, we'll just say pre-bye and post-bye. Mm-hmm. And if you just look at the last 3 weeks as kind of an indicator of what's going on lately, what have you done for me lately? Luther Burden III's right there with anybody that you want to talk about on this offense. That includes the running backs because of the magnitude of the plays that he has made when you consider he's got games where he has only four catches, but all four catches are for first downs, right? I think him not being there and Roma Dunze not being there is a problem. If that's what happens on Saturday night, DJ Moore had a great game last week, specifically because it was much better than all the games he had had prior to that and the way that he was using the win over the Browns. But Luther Burden III gives them another threat, another playmaker that defenses have to be concerned about, that they have to actually focus on. There's a difference between Luther Burden III and, let's say, Olamide Zaccheaus, let alone a Devin Duvernay type who comes up with an occasional catch every once in a while. So if those two guys can't go and neither of them is practiced this week, we don't expect Roma Dunze to play. That's already off the table. But if Luther Burden III can't go, you have to wonder what they're going to do with the receiver position.
Well, and my next thought is, of course, you've got to continue DJ Moore. There's a reason he was your WR1 for a long time on this team. You go back, though, to the box score of when they lost to the Packers 28-21 so long ago.
So long ago. Barely remember it.
Game before last. He was targeted just 3 times. He had 1 catch for -4 yards because the screen game hasn't been as successful for the Bears, especially against that very good Packers defense. And the pass rush is a part of being able to get to a screen game pretty quickly. We saw how Rashawn Gary moved around along with Micah Parsons. So I think that he's got to be the guy who they schematically target more.
No,
you can have DJ as your primary read on more plays, but is it going to be enough? Do you think you pass the ball enough as a team to get what you wanted to get done. They had 138 yards on the ground in that game. They had 186 in the air.
How do you feel about 12 personnel?
I love it.
How do you feel about 13 personnel?
I love it even more.
Okay, so...
And we found out the Wumbo is the name for what I called like the four tight end set. Thank you to everybody who texted in that day talking about the Wumbo package.
Wumbo 04.
That's what she said.
There's a couple of things you can call. Oh, wow. That's where you went with that.
Now, after the first hour, you need a palate cleanser.
Okay. My palate has now been cleansed thanks to you putting that in my head. I'll say this. The idea of 13 personnel with Durham Smythe and even the Wumbo, as you call it, with a little extra Theo Benedet to
it's
go along with Ozzie
Trapillo. It's reportedly called the Wumbo package.
I like that idea. I like it because we just talked about Luther Burden III and his impact as the season has gone on. Mm-hmm. The same can certainly be said about Colston Loveland. And I'm a big believer that if for some reason Luther Burden III does not play on Saturday night, expect Colston Loveland to have a big game, as in a number of targets and a number of opportunities to bust things open. He looks like a receiver with the ball in his hands. He's just bigger and stronger. He looks more nimble than, say, a Cole Kmet, who's also great, but falls down a little too much when he catches the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like every time I see Cole Kmet catch the ball, he's catching it in a, I'm already down, or now I'm going to fall down, or I'm going to dive forward or sideways, and he's to the ground.
Is that a adjustment to the ball, body awareness, ball placement type of thing?
It might be.
Is that from being 6'5" type of thing? Because I don't know what happens up there as a person.
This is Caleb Williams' biggest game as a quarterback, in my opinion. He's already proven he can get it done in cold weather. We saw that last week. It's not going to be as cold, although this game is at night, so it'll be cold. I don't know what the wind conditions are going to be. I don't know if it'll be conducive to throwing the ball a whole lot like we saw him do against the Browns. But I do know this. Out of 13 personnel, they've got the guys who can really block. If it's Durham Smythe, if it's Colston Loveland, and it's Cole Kmet. So your running game should be that much more proficient with more big bodies on the line.
Well, I also think, too, and I talked about this formation on Monday with you and Mark Rohde. Phil Thompson brought it up to Ben Johnson yesterday, asking about the bully package that they have. You know, that it's where the two tight ends flank Caleb Williams in a shotgun formation. And I thought that it was done to help protect against Myles Garrett. I had no problem with it because I thought it was done to help protect against Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett did not get the sack record against the Bears. He got credited with 1.5. And I think because of Myles Garrett's season, I'm proud of that stat for them. I am happy that that's what happened.
If I told you they'd get 1.5 sacks from Myles Garrett, but they still score 31 points, I think you would sign up for that.
Yes, I would. That is a deal I would take. If we're in deal or no deal today, that is one of them.
And maybe more importantly, Caleb Williams is no worse for wear. Because that's the danger of being sacked by a guy like Myles Garrett. I think the other thing, when you look at this offense this week, if they don't have Luther Burden III and they don't have Roma Dunze, is will that running game be as effective? Clay was in here talking about it yesterday, and he made some great points. So Evan Williams didn't practice. He has not practiced yet this week.
Yeah, that has been something we've been watching.
He is that prototypical run-stopping safety that doesn't allow what's a 4, 5, 6 yard gain maybe to become a 12, 13, 15 yard gain.
And as we talked about 2 weeks ago or last, however you want to do it, when we talked about it, and because this is post Browns week, so it was last week, when we talked about how the Packers were able to really be effective against the Bears, it was the manufacturing of explosive plays, which we'll get into, but then also the prevention of the Bears getting them, and Williams was a big factor in that. He had 7 total tackles in that game. 4 of them were solo. He had 1 pass defense. These are the difference makers. You know, these are the details when you're not running as many plays as you might want to as an offense. This is what you have to adjust to. So if Williams isn't playing, that might be significant in all of this. I don't know if you guys saw last time around, Carrington Valentine is known to be a bit of a trash talker, so I'm curious how that's going to shape up on the field. We saw him and Luther talk a little bit now, didn't we? Nothing major happened, but we know that he's a stirrer of the pot. He's a provocateur.
Provocateur, like Mark Grody style?
I would call you the provocateur. I would call Grody a stirrer of the pot. How would you describe?
What's in the pot again?
Stuff.
Oh, okay.
I go with the traditional don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. I just use the word stuff.
Okay. You know what I use. It's not stuff. It's more colorful language. Listen.
It's more offensive than the cuss word. That's how you know.
It's clinical. It's clinical.
It's just always what you hear when there's some investigation done and people are there. We found fecal matter in the ice machine, you know, and then you're like, oh, God, what has happened here? This is a hellscape of a report.
Let me tell you something. There's fecal matter in the ice machine. You got some serious problems, like more than serious problems.
But you know what I'm saying?
Everyone's like, that's hospitalized immediately.
That's the report that shuts the business down. The investigation department gets an Emmy. And you're out here just using it for casual conversation.
The health code lady, she's not going to let you reopen that business. You're going to have to sell it, new ownership, maybe tear it down. It's like when
burn the building,
when
you know,
find,
kill it with fire.
You know those homes where they find the snake in the toilet? Okay, that toilet is, this whole house belongs to the snake now. It's that type of situation.
When you find a really scary spider and you're like, congratulations, spider, you are the new homeowner here.
You got the deed in hand.
Has anybody ever been charged with arson if you burned your house down because there was a really scary spider in it? Have they?
I can see that happening. Going after him with a blowtorch or whatnot.
Sir, there was a really scary spider.
Speaking of blowtorches, you brought up the explosive plays. And the Bears, they need more of them as far as running the football. Two weeks ago when these two teams met, there were 10 plays of 10 yards or more for the Bears. Do you know how many of those plays were running plays? Exactly one.
It's not enough.
Exactly one. I lied. There were none. The one I was looking at was Kyle Manungai, but he actually only ran for 1 yard. There was an unnecessary roughness call on Keyshawn Nixon, and that's why it was more than 10 yards. So conversely, for the Green Bay Packers, they were able to run a little bit. You know, Josh Jacobs had the big carry late in that game when he was on 3rd and 2, ran for 21 yards all the way down to the Chicago 7. He also had an 11-yard run.
Oh, the one where nobody tackled?
Yes.
That can't happen again, by the way.
That cannot happen.
You cannot have, and that was three of the best players on the defense, and none of them got a hand on him. When it was a 3rd and short, and that was 3rd and 1, and they had the chance to stop that drive. That can't, I wonder how many times they had to see that film.
But the other big news, if you're looking at plays that, you know, went for double-digit yards, Christian Watson had 3 of the top 6 plays, and 2 of them went for touchdowns, 1 for 41 yards, 1 for 23 yards. Christian Watson also on that injury report, out there in limited fashion, he plans on playing on Saturday. His coach, Matt LaFleur, says he's fighting to play. I'm trying to figure out, how much does that matter that Christian Watson is out there? And if he's not at full strength, is that something the Bears don't have to be as worried about?
Well, I assume he's going to wear something. Do you wear the flak jacket in that case?
I think he does. Yeah.
How is that going to affect your speed and the angles you get? You know, that's a fair question. But I don't know that that is going to be that significant when Jordan Love ate up the man coverage last game. Like, that was not the best game plan when you consider how easily they were able to pick apart man.
Grody and Clay and I were talking about it yesterday. I was like, I don't think they can play man against the Packers, knowing what they don't have available to them, knowing that Jalen Johnson is not going to be at 100%. He's a few weeks away from being his old self.
Well,
and that's fine because of what else you got back there.
I am willing to say, though, based on even what I saw against a lesser opponent in the Browns, but you're still facing guys like Jerry Jeudy. And I know he got burned by Isaiah Bond on one of those plays, but I tend to think we're going to see a better version of Jalen Johnson in this game coming up on Saturday than what we saw before.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, understanding that there is a speed deficit there. That's where the difference is between him and Kyler Gordon. They're both physical guys who like to play that position, but CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, he's a guy who, for speed, cannot keep up with a guy like Christian Watson or even with Reed.
See, now you just fired him up. Now you just fired up CeeDee. You've motivated him.
I'm looking at the tape,
Layla. Put it on the bulletin board. Go get him.
Layla, you saw the tape. What that looked like?
you've got to be more judicious with how you use your personnel. And I understand wanting to blitz look, and I love it. I love that blitzes are a love language on the Bears defense. But you've got to be mindful of what you're giving up in the secondary when you do some of these.
And I also understand not having Kyler Gordon right before the game starts when you thought you were going to have Kyler Gordon.
If I were a defensive coordinator, blitzes would be my love language too. Everybody would get to blitz. And then I'd probably get burned, just like Jordan Love did with the Bears defense when that happened.
But hopefully you get more pressure on the quarterback along the way.
That's it. The stat that sticks out to me, Marshall, is that they only got an 18% pressure rate on all of their blitzes. That is unsuccessful.
It's also very vulnerable on the back end when you're only getting to the quarterback 18% of the time.
So that's the question. Are you going to be the team that tries to not have the explosives given up and maybe you only rush four down linemen? I wish that I could say that's been successful historically for this team. Glares. But I hope that is the case. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody.
I have a tear.
It's that
a single tear.
It's the time of year. It's come down to this.
For some people, it's a very important week because there's a lot of money on the line. For other people, well, you've been out of it for a while. Now you're thinking about, okay, I'm in a dynasty league. What do I do?
And that person is Marshall Harris.
That's me.
Our segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Coming up next, for the last time this season, Paul Charchian, our fantasy football expert, here to help you. We'll do it next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and I just came across a post that Marshall Harris is already riveted to. So let's read it to you. Josina Anderson, this is about an hour ago, she posted on X. I'm told there's been recent interest expressed, at the very least, in speaking with Bill Belichick on an exploratory basis from two NFL teams per league source. My understanding is Belichick has upper-level personnel still fond of him in Atlanta, New York, and Cleveland, while struggling teams going through customary evaluations this time of year. Additionally, she is told up to seven more teams are monitoring potential change at head coach. Giants and Titans are open, and up to three to four more teams are considering a change at general manager at this time. The Miami Dolphins already have a GM vacancy.
1 minute ago, Josina Anderson quote tweeted that tweet and said,
"What?"
And with some of these teams, they're already beyond isolated evaluations and are already charting the carousel schedule ahead. Again, none of this stuff happens last minute, as I have said every year. And we know that to be true because we just went through this last year.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And we don't have to go through it this year.
I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but it's like, oh, wait, you're just now available? I had no idea. Wink. Let's go to a man who also knows a thing or two about planning. On this final appearance of the season, Paul Charchian. We always enjoy talking to Paul Charchian. He's our fantasy football expert, as you all know. He is at Paul Charchian on X. Charch, how are you doing on this final appearance of the season? I'm sad.
That's a little emotional, honestly. I'll note this. The Gary Bears has got a nice ring to it.
Stop. See, now you're trolling. We don't need this today, Charge.
He's actually right, though, in saying it because of the threat that happened the last time where people were saying the Bears would lose the name Chicago Bears, and that's not how it works.
Charge, just because your team wishes they had, wins doesn't mean you have to come over here talking to us crazy. Although JJ McCarthy making a push.
Woo.
He is. He's looked non-awful in back-to-back games. I mean, maybe this thing's, the worry I've got as a Viking fan is he does just enough this season. And because how this goes with like Justin Fields and others, you do just enough to give you hope. And then the team doesn't make any change or improvement. And then the guy doesn't get any better. So, I want him to do well. I want JJ McCarthy to do well. I want him to be so good that there's no real doubt that he's going to be good. I'm worried we're going to get into this next off season and go, well, he had a good play here and a good play here. We're going to be like picking out the things that he did well enough and convince ourselves that he could still be the quarterback of the future, which maybe he will be. I hope he is, but I don't want to fall into that middle ground where you still don't know and you let optimism rule and you don't necessarily give yourself a backup plan. I know you know about this.
Right, but I think the difference is, Charge, is that nobody's questioning his infrastructure. I was definitely questioning the Bears' infrastructure.
Yes.
I couldn't trust them to develop anyone. And Fields, that turned into a bunch of things that I didn't say. But what I can say is I didn't trust the Bears to develop Justin Fields. I wouldn't have trusted the Bears at the time to develop Caleb Williams. Appropriately, I think Caleb Williams' family was also concerned about that very thing. And I feel like in this case, you do have the trust that the variable will be indeed JJ McCarthy and not any of those outside factors.
Well, that's very fair. And I think obviously Ben Johnson lends a whole new level of credibility. And, I don't think it's too early already to talk about him as a long-term stabilizing force with him and the coaching staff that you've got with Ben Johnson. But also note this, your front office put together a pretty great offseason, right? Everything you'd hope from your offensive line has come true. The offensive line is now, I think, one of the three or four best in the NFL. You kind of hit your draft, right? Loveland looks good. Burden looks good. Menungai was a hit. Those are all people that look really promising. Ozzie Trapillo looks good, right? Trapillo? He's played a bunch. I feel like I feel like the infrastructure for Chicago feels depressingly good as a Vikings fan right now.
Okay, I have a two-part question, which we're advised not to do, but I love this. Justin Jefferson, when are you guys trading him? Because he doesn't do anything anymore, and clearly he needs to be traded to the Bears maybe. I don't know. You tell me. And then who else should be benched, since me not benching Justin Jefferson is why I'm on the sidelines right now?
Oh, no.
I started Justin Jefferson in a league last week, too. I was committed. It's a Cowboy.
Did you survive?
Like, this is it. Well, actually, I did survive, but barely survived, and he dropped a touchdown. Jefferson doesn't look – and this is not the first key drop that he's had. This was back of the end zone, Justin Jefferson. I mean, it was not a perfect ball placement from J.J. McCarthy, but it's a play that 98 times out of 100 Justin Jefferson makes, and he dropped the touchdown. And I'm like, that's it. That's going to be the end of my season. I managed to survive. I think a lot of people didn't. For J.J., his 1,000-yard streak, season streak, is in jeopardy, and he only needs like 180 yards the rest of the way. But he's gaining yards like 30 a clip, 30 yards a game. There's real worry right now in Minnesota that they're going to go into the offseason with Jefferson not willing to continue to play with this team, that he'll ask for a trade, and the Vikings are going to be forced to do the same thing they did with Randy Moss and Stephon Diggs in their prime. Gonna have to trade him out of the division.
That'd be so unfortunate.
Is not anything Minnesota wants.
I have some pressing fantasy questions as well. We talk to Paul Churchian every week at this time. Paul is our fantasy football expert. This is quite the calendar too this week for the NFL, as we know, with the Saturday night game, for example. So this is a question that a lot of people have. I already saw one on the text line. Dak Prescott against the Chargers, how do you think he's gonna do?
This is a tricky spot because Dak's been great. Defense has been terrible, so he's been rolling up lots of passes. He has is fantasy quarterback 5 on the full season, every week starter, until now. He's got the Chargers. This is his toughest matchup of the year. They're number 1 in passing touchdowns allowed. They're number 3 in passing yardage allowed. Only 2 quarterbacks against the Chargers all year have managed to get to 2 passing touchdowns. All the rest are at 0 or 1. And this Dallas offense doesn't look right the last couple of weeks. With George Pickens a non-factor, the whole offense has not looked right. And I don't know that George Pickens automatically gets everything back. This thing has been super, super weird with him. The obvious lack of effort. For a guy who's trying to get paid in the offseason, that's been mysterious as well. It's a brutally tough matchup. I got Dak Prescott at quarterback 10. There may very well be somebody, especially if you need upside, especially if you need your quarterback, your underdog. You need your quarterback to get 3 touchdowns or 2 and a rushing touchdown. I don't think Dak Prescott's that guy, and I think you might want to look elsewhere.
Okay, so we know it's dynasty season for those people who are not in the playoffs right now. Are there guys that you're targeting right now that people should really be looking forward and saying, okay, I can see why this guy should be kept even if they haven't been as productive in 2025?
Yes, Kenneth Gainwell is one of my favorite targets for this next offseason. I believe he is the Steelers' best running back, and he is headed into free agency next year. If you can get Kenneth Gainwell on the cheap now, or if he's just available right now, you're looking at a starting running back for some team next year heading into the offseason. And that's one of my favorite targets to go get. I think Kenneth Gainwell's really, really good. And he's potentially sitting on a big 2026.
We're talking to Paul Charchian, our fantasy football expert here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Okay, another one regarding that Chargers and Cowboys game. What about Omarion Hampton?
Right. So the Chargers running backs in this timeshare with Kamani Vidal, and you know, Hampton has looked a little better than Vidal lately, but it's still a timeshare almost evenly. And it feels like anybody against Dallas is automatic game on. And you've been holding Hampton all this time through the injury, and he's come back slowly these past couple of games since his 2-month injury. But the problem is, since the Quinn and Williams trade, and we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Cowboys have went from one of the worst run defenses to one of the best. Only one runner since that trade has had a good fantasy game against the Cowboys. And that was Jahmyr Gibbs, who was obviously awesome. And he did most of his damage through the air. Since the Quinn and William trade, get this, Saquon Barkley, 22 rushing yards. Ashton Jeanty, 7 rushing yards. Jahmyr Gibbs only had 43 rushing yards. Aaron Jones, 34 rushing yards last week. Jordan Mason, 23 rushing yards. This is a good defense, and I know you've held Hampton this long. I don't know that you start him here. I think only if you need like an upset. Again, you need maybe something special to happen. You could try to get it here, but I don't see a lot of upside here for Omarion Hampton in what has turned into be a surprisingly tough matchup with Dallas.
We are talking to Paul Charchian. He is our fantasy football expert here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Okay. Let's talk about the wide receiver position. People are just out here grasping at straws trying to figure it out. What do you recommend here in semifinal week across the nation?
Well, I'm going to give you a guy that I think is in trouble with potentially a trickier matchup than it looks like. And that's been a sort of a reoccurring theme here. Miami wide receiver Jalen Waddle is going to have Quinn Ewers as his starting quarterback. And I don't trust him at all. Mike McDaniels put Ewers in, by the way, elevating him from third string, which is a little bit weird. And I think there's some tough feelings here with Wilson, who felt like he had earned this job. But Mike McDaniel doesn't want to do this. It's just Tua's been bad, and McDaniel's trying to coach for his job right now. So this is a desperation move. Ewers was a super dicey NFL prospect. There were numerous issues with him at Texas. Rarely made his progressions. He was a one-read quarterback. And one-read quarterbacks throw the ball. It's short passes at the NFL level. And oftentimes picked off passes because defenses see it coming. His mechanics get bad when he's out of the pocket. He starts spraying balls all around the field. I did not like him as a prospect. There were people who thought he might go as high as the 3rd round. Ended up going 7th round of the NFL draft. Bengals have got one. They're the opponent for Jalen Waddle. They've got one good cornerback, and he shadows. His name's DJ Turner. He's really good. He's allowing a 50% completion rate. He's Pro Football Focus's eighth-ranked cornerback in coverage. Mm. He will shadow Jalen Waddle, make Quinn Ewers find somebody else to throw the ball to, and there aren't a lot of great options. And no receiver has topped three receptions against Cincinnati in a month. Quietly, the Cincinnati pass defense has gotten a lot better. So I think he's a sneaky bench candidate. Jalen Waddle, he comes in as wide receiver 12 on the season. He's my wide receiver 30 this week.
Wow, that says a lot, Charge. Also, we have quite a Thursday night football game, both from a fan standpoint and from a fantasy standpoint, when you consider the numbers like the Rams put up, for example. So what are you keying in on when it comes to some decisions that have to be made tonight?
Let's talk about the two quarterbacks, because this is fascinating. Stafford has been awesome to this point of the season, number one in touchdown passes, and you've put him in your lineup every week. You haven't even thought twice about it. But this is the one time when you need to think twice about Stafford and what you need to get out of him, because I think this is his toughest matchup potentially of the season. First, we have cold weather coming. We're going to have cold rain tonight. It's going to be about 40 degrees. We're going to have some level of wind tonight as well in the stadium. They're talking not downpour of rain, but we're going to have light rain for this game. These teams met in week 11. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you were done with your report.
My weather report? Yeah.
I am urgent because the texters have placed me in an urgent position. They just all want to know if they're sitting Stafford tonight. Like, we had like four or five questions about it.
I know. And I should really move on. You get me going, I just keep talking.
No, that's why we have
Adams
you on.
Adams tonight for Stafford. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So no to Stafford, no to
Garner? Adams tonight. Yeah. Only 130 passing yards when these teams met in week 11 for Stafford, his lowest of the output of the season. Short week with the travel, and their travel got messed up last night. They ended up coming in late. Seattle, really good pass rush. Their fifth in pass rush win rate. Their fourth in sacks. No opposing quarterback has thrown more than two touchdowns against Seattle all year. And Seattle strangled their last four opposing quarterbacks. Not very good. I've got Stafford at quarterback 8. I don't see a ton of upside here without Davante Adams, and you're looking at 1 to 2 touchdown passes. If you just need Stafford to hold serve, and you're okay in the semifinals with like 220 yards, 1 to 2 touchdowns, fine. If you need more than that to get to your finals, and many do, you might have to look elsewhere beyond Matthew Stafford, who's normally just an absolute sure thing.
Charge, thanks as always. Sorry to interrupt you there on behalf of everybody texting in. You provide a service, and we have appreciated it all season long.
This has been a ton of fun. I want to thank you guys for having me on. It's like year number 15 on the station. I adore the people that both, I get to work with on air, but special shout out to Ray, who is so good at his job. And people don't see it necessarily on the air. Nothing ever goes wrong because Ray is so diligent.
Facts.
He is the best. Another great season of working with the two of you and Ray, and we will look forward to chatting in the offseason.
Charge, we always appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, as it always is. And if you need more from Paul Charchian, you can find him on X at Paul Charchian, CHRCHIAN. Charge, a pleasure always, and thanks for joining us on Twitch as well.
Happy holidays, Charge.
Thanks for another great season. Bye-bye. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And yeah, the Brits say Happy Christmas. I don't know why we don't. It's cool. It's
I have
different.
A shirt that says Happy Christmas on it, so there's that.
Of course you do.
I'll be wearing that in the coming days.
What about tomorrow?
I could probably wear it tomorrow.
You know what we're doing tomorrow? Join us, The Score, at the world-famous Brat Stop in Kenosha for the return of the Brat Bowl, previewing round 2 of Chicago and Green Bay. Our show will be there broadcasting live from 10 to 2, followed by Spiegel and Holmes from 2 to 6 that afternoon. We're joined by special guests, including Patrick Manley at 11, Henry Melton at 1, and host from The Fan in Milwaukee as the shows gear up for a huge game the next day. It is tomorrow, 10 to 6 at the Brat Stop in Kenosha, all brought to you by Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha. For a great experience, visit ZieglerSubaruKenosha.com. Coming up next, it is halftime. And the Bulls game was really fun to watch last night. I was a little worried at the beginning. Sorry, Bulls. But Isaac Okoro was a whole vibe. So we will bring to you The spirit of Isaac Okoro at the best time of the year. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What time is it?
It's halftime. Well, we spent the first hour of our show talking about the Bears' open letter about the stadium, and there's some people talking to themselves, and I wish you the best of luck. For everybody else, it's a good discussion because, frankly, when you want more of our money, then we deserve to be able to talk about it. So that was our first hour. Second hour, we talked about football because that's what's important right now, today. And the Bears playing the Packers, and unfortunately, we are worried that they might be more shorthanded in the receiving corps than we have realized. And Paul Charchian at 11:25 got us ready for fantasy football and for a lot of people, the semifinal week before the finals next week.
It's nap time.
This was a very wholesome moment that happened during the Bulls' win over the Cavaliers last night. It was one of their games where they have a spotlight. They call it the spotlight games, and usually that means a player is mic'd up as well. And that player was Isaac Okoro. Isaac, take it away.
All I want for Christmas is you. Christmas to you,
He did what so many of us have wanted to do, and he put it out there while he was mic'd up.
What do you mean wanted to do? We've done it. Like, everybody has had that moment where they knew that they were not going to hit that note, but they're like, you know what? We're doing it anyway.
You got it.
I don't think Mariah can even hit that note anymore, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good question. In her peak, Mariah Carey could sing at such a high pitch that it would set off garage door openers. I'm not kidding.
I'd never heard that before, but that is absolutely believable.
Yeah, I think it was Emotions. Isn't that the one where she hits the super, super high note?
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes, except for it's better, cleaner, and
see,
higher pitch.
You have to test your range. Shoot or shoot. And Isaac Okoro is not really a shooter, but maybe he is in the lyrical and musical sense, and that's why we're here. So I loved that. That was such a genuine moment from Isaac Okoro putting it out there for the world as to whether or not he could hit the high note. Do you think if we asked him, he'd do it again?
Absolutely. Especially if they were going to win the game. I mean, Isaac Okoro going up against his old team, I think he felt some type of way. That's why he dropped, 12 points on 6 of 7 shooting with mic'd up in the open parentheses, close parentheses.
Man, the Bulls shot lights out last night.
They did.
Like that, you know what they say? A coach once told me, making your shots covers up a multitude of sins, and it's never not true.
See, we'll get to that later in the show. But also, it's just good to see guys having fun. Clearly the Bulls season has not been what they thought it was going to be. Isaac Okoro's time with the Bulls has not been probably what he thought it was going to be. I do want to point out this one thing. In games in which Isaac Okoro, Kobe White, and Josh Giddey are all in the starting lineup, the Bulls are 4-2. Do with that what you will.
I think that is what they wanted this to be, is it not? But that also got Ray Diaz asking the question, as we heard this, what is your favorite Christmas song? Marshall Harris?
It would be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, as sung by one DMX. That would be my favorite Christmas song.
We have that in our system, actually.
Do we?
Yeah, thanks to Chris Tannehill. and the lyrical stylings of DMX, that is one that is available in our system. I think if you work at a radio station, you should probably have it just for humorous reference.
It is glorious. And it tells you that anyone and everyone can be in the Christmas spirit, and it just means more when it comes from someone who you know does his thing in his own unique way.
Okay, so without further ado, let's hear the great DMX song.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen. But do you recall,
what's that?
The most famous reindeer of all. Come on!
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Come on, come on!
All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
what's that?
Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeers loved him.
Loved him.
And they shouted out weekly, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You go down to history forever.
You go down to history
forever. You go down to history. You go down to history.
You go down to history.
Now get it.
That's it right there.
Poor DMX.
If you're not in the holiday spirit, how could that not move you to be in the holiday spirit?
You know, I was just going to say the instrumental, the sleigh ride, like the original one with the full orchestra. It just gets you places. I do like a lot of music that you can do cardio to, frankly. And I feel like sleigh ride is one of those where it gets me moving, you know? It's got a fast pace to it.
You can do cardio to that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sleigh ride?
I like it. Anything that gets you moving. I see what you did there. Yes.
And am I so wrong to like Jingle Bells? All versions? The traditional version? The kids version that talks about Batman smelling and Robin laying an egg? All of them. Jingle Bells is a great song. Guys, nominations? Tyler?
You know that song by the group Band-Aid in the 80s, Do They Know It's Christmas Time? I've always really, really liked that one. I'd probably say that's my favorite.
I'm unfamiliar, but I will be checking that out.
Do They Know It's Christmas Time? Yeah, it's a bunch of musicians back in the 80s called Do They Know It's Christmas Time.
What do you
know
about the 80s? Hold on. This man never ceases to amaze
Marshall,
me.
Marshall, there are some things that I do know about that you probably have no idea.
That's one of them.
Ooh,
right there.
Challenge issue.
Yes. No, I give you credit.
Baby T can surprise you guys from time to time.
Third person, that. Not Baby T.
The third person.
That's when we know we jumped the shark. Ray, what about you?
This Christmas, Donny Hathaway is the ultimate Christmas song, in my opinion.
How
it's
do you
just the best.
Caroling through the night.
What about Last Christmas? Is that Wham or George Michael? I think it's Wham, isn't it?
It's Wham, yeah.
Yeah, Last Christmas is pretty good.
I love them all. Take me to the holiday party right now. As long as the holiday party is not you know where, take me to it. Chris Kendall Market. Come on, don't play.
I totally forgot. And have we gotten dates yet for Chris Kendall Market? I have not.
I'm leaving town. Y'all ain't going to find me over there. Y'all can go. Let me write it. Hey, take a video. Send me a picture. You will not find me in the Chris Kendall Market.
630 has one of my favorites. Brenda Lee rocking around Rock Around the Clock. Yes. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Yes. Oh my goodness. It's on Home Alone. I do love that song. Fine. Wow, 708. George Michael died on Christmas? Oh my God, I forgot. Oh, I feel terrible now. Well, shoot. We have five on it next. We have more questions than just your usual. I mean, there's still five, but we got range. So listen up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.